During the 2016 presidential election, one of the biggest issues at stake was the economy. We all know that U.S. finances are in trouble, but how bad are they? And can the new administration really make a difference with their proposed budget plans? Hello, I'm your host, Sam Rohr, and today we're going to be talking about this issue from a biblical perspective with our guest, Dan Celia, host of Financial Issues. We're also going to talk about a recent survey that indicates that the percentage of Americans who claim to be atheists is on the rise. So don't go away. We'll be right back with today's Stand in the Gap Weekend.
Welcome to Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network Week in Review, featuring the best segments taken from our Stand in the Gap Today daily program. Our goal is to equip the pastor, church leader, and all believers to think critically and biblically in a culture that increasingly rejects truth. Stand by to hear a focused analysis of current events viewed through the lens of a biblical and constitutional worldview. The pastor's and the believer's goal should be to impact our culture for Christ. As part of our mission to urge pastors to boldly preach the whole counsel of God and equip people to be soldiers and ambassadors for Christ, we're establishing APN chapters in all 50 states. Learn more on the web at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Now, here's our host and American Pastors Network President, Sam Rohr.
Hello and welcome to today's program. We want to thank you for tuning in to Stand in the Gap Weekend, and if this is your first time joining us, we trust that you'll find today's topic to be informative and helpful in your walk with the Lord. This program is a ministry production of the American Pastors Network, and if you'd like to know more about us, what we do, and what our mission is all about, I invite you to visit our website at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at American Pastors. Well, as we move now into today's broadcast, if you've been following the financial reports, you might be thinking that things are looking good, or at least some of the time. On other days, it appears that things are taking a steep downward spin. So what's going on? What's the true state of our financial affairs as a nation? So last week, we invited in Dan Celia, host of the radio program Financial Issues and founder of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries, to be a part of our daily Stand in the Gap Today broadcast. In today's program, Dan gives clear answers to our pointed questions in regard to what's happening in the market right now as he discusses President Trump's policies with an eye towards biblical principles for Christians who wish to be prepared and responsible with their investing. Joining me in the studio today are my co-host, Dr. Gary Dahl and David Kessler. Now let's get started.
Well, the market breaks all-time highs, and then it plunges 370 points just 2 days ago, effectively on a rumor. The Federal Reserve intends to raise interest rates because the economy is doing so well. Yet key numbers indicate that that's not quite the way it looks. What does a responsible investor do, and how can any responsible person perceive reality in this make-believe world of reports and statistics and spiraling national and world debt? Now, to help us understand this very complicated and confusing area of economy and personal finance, I'm going to welcome in just a moment Dan Celia. He is the CEO of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries, and he is also host of the national radio program by the same name, Financial Issue. Then in segment three, we're going to look at the results and implications of a new research report that says that over 25%, one quarter of all Americans do not believe in God. And according to this report, that number may actually be even larger than that, depending upon how you interpret the data. Well, once again, we're going to bring to you, as we regularly do, the important news of the day, the most impactful news of the day, from a biblical and constitutional perspective. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'm going to be joined today by Dave Kessler and Gary Dahl, both of whom were, the last 2 days, in busy work down in Washington, D.C., and we're going to cover with them also, in the latter half of the program, some of what they were experiencing there. But Gary and Dave, it's great to have you guys back. Well, Sam, it's a delight to be back on the radio, and we are, I would say, Gary, we are beyond pumped to share a little bit of what we experienced in the 2 days we were in D.C. God is really doing some really wonderful things, and to hear from our congressman and what God was doing and is doing in their life, boy, that was over the top a blessing.
Amen, well, Dave, and you could really say, Sam, that we are out of the swamp.
Well, hey, you know, that doesn't sound good because if you're out of the swamp, that means you were drained out of the swamp. You're not the guys that were thinking about draining out of the swamp.
Now, you're reading between the lines, brother.
Well, you got to do that in the news of the day because we only get half the information. So
fake
I want to
news,
clarify, ladies and gentlemen, they are not the ones we're wanting to drain. But all that being said, we're going to cover that plus a lot of good stuff at the balance of this program. But let me go right back, if I can, right now into the theme of the first half here, which I'm terming the true state of the U.S. economy and our likely future under Donald Trump. And to help us understand this, I'm going to welcome now officially financial expert, Wall Street experienced, and CEO of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries, Dan Celia. Even greater, Dan knows the Lord, and he regularly applies a biblical worldview to the analysis of financial and economic news on his radio program. With that, Dan, welcome to Stand in the Gap today.
Sam, it's great to be here. Dave, Gary, I so appreciate you inviting me. I'm glad I'm here.
All right. Well, Dan, we're going to get right into it quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go through a little bit of a rapid fire here in the first segment, and then we're going to break out some more in detail with Dan in the second segment. So what we're going to do, man, is I'm going to go first, then Gary, then you, Dave. We're going to walk right down through these questions if we can, and Dan's going to give us shorter answers, and then we'll build these out in the next segment. So, Dan, let me start asking you this question. As a financial analyst and radio host of your own program, what are you telling people about the truthfulness? Now, it's a key word, the truthfulness of the economic data that we regularly hear or regularly heard during the Obama administration, but then now what we are hearing under the Trump administration. This is really the fundamental question. Are the reports and the data that we generally hear about economic news and development, are they basically generally true or are they false?
Well, I would say the data is pretty close to being fairly accurate. I would say the reporting of the data is not. And I know that sounds goofy because they're one and the same, right? No, they really aren't. I mean, the data is the data. If you look at the mathematics of the data, it is hard to, if you know where to look, it is hard to get the data wrong. But the data can be reported wrong, and in fact, Sam, it can be wrong if there are certain factors added to the data that might give the data an intentional negative slant or a positive slant.
All right, so Dan, so basically what you're saying then, you're saying that the data is generally accurate, but the way it is reported is problematic. Did I sum that up right?
Yes.
Okay, Gary, go next.
Yeah, I appreciate that answer that you're giving there, Dan. I want to build on that a little bit, though, and say, or ask you, do you see any significant difference, or do you expect there to be a significant difference in the reality of the economic data under the Trump administration?
Well, I think we're already seeing it, Gary. I think there's going to be a dramatic difference in the data, and there's going to be I don't think there's going to be much of a difference in the reporting. I think the reporting's just going to be slanted in a different direction. But I think that the data is going to get better. It's going to get stronger. But here's the ticket, Gary. It's one of the things that an economist like me despises is the fact that the data and the way the data is reported and the fact that the reality of the data is going to be based on, as we analyze the data, that analytics is going to be based on what is happening from a political structure. And that is a terrible place to be, because I don't have to tell you, Gary, about politics and how volatile that is. Mm-hmm. And that is the problem. And that's the problem we have right now, today. That's the problem we have right now in the data.
Dan, let me ask you this. The stock market has soared to historic heights in the first few months of the Trump administration. Is there any substantive justification for this meteoric rise, or is all of this being influenced by politics as well?
You know what, Dave? I believe, this is just my opinion, I believe that what we saw in the markets since the election, I believe it's real. I believe that it is not false positives. I believe the positives are very, very real. Here's why. It's real because it's based, yes, it is based on something that is anticipated that is going to happen in the economy. That anticipation is because of the agenda that is being put forth by this administration. So,
all right, Dan, I'm going to jump in real quick because we're going to run out of time.
Okay.
Very quickly, on one other item here, Congress has been kicking the can on the budget down the road for nearly 8 years. How long can that continue?
I think it's going to continue one more cycle, in my opinion.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, just a few of the highlights of the economic issues from Dan Celia. We're going to go into greater detail in the next segment. If you like what you just heard, you're going to get more detail here. And we're going to go to the question is, can the U.S. economy grow its way back to fiscal health? Now, you've already heard a little bit of what Dan has said. We're going to go more into that. We're going to talk about the debt impact, national and international, as well. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Stay with us. We will be right back.
We have just heard the first part of our interview with Dan Celia, host of Financial Issues, which was heard initially on our daily program, originally airing on Friday, May the 19th of last week. Dan related his thoughts as to how the economy is doing under the Trump administration and what he thinks will happen as we move forward. Now, in this next segment, we're going to talk about America's debt problem and what it will take to dig out of it. We're also going to discuss how Christians should view our current economic situation and how we can best conduct our finances to the glory of God. Let's go to this next selection of our broadcast with Dan Celia and my co-host, Dr. Gary Dahl and David Kistler.
On this program today, we are focusing on financial and economic issues. Our general theme here for the first two segments is the true statement of the U.S. economy, or the true state, rather, of the U.S. economy and the future under President Donald Trump. Our special guest, Dan Celia, he's the CEO of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries. He's also national host of the program bearing that same name, Financial Issues. Dan, it's great to have you with us. And in this segment, I'd like to go now just a little bit deeper on two primary questions. First of all, I want to know how serious our national and international debt really is. And then I want to go in and build out a little bit of Donald Trump's hope that tax cuts and bringing jobs back home will be able to grow our economy out of debt and back to strong fiscal health. So let me start with this first question. Let's talk about the debt here first. What is the U.S. debt? What is the international debt, first of all? And then secondly, how would you respond to many pundits who, and so-called experts, who put themselves out to say that the debt is really not that much of an issue, and because we haven't seen any real effect yet, to raise an issue about the debt is really like calling wolf. No wolf has occurred, so it's no big deal. How do you respond to that whole issue of debt?
Well, I think we have a serious problem in America with the debt. There's no doubt about it. I think we have about $141 trillion. That's by my numbers. Most would say it's more than that. We have $20 trillion of immediate debt, as we hear that number all the time. And we've got another $121 trillion or so in unfunded liabilities debt. So debt is a very, very serious problem. You know, just to this kind of gets back to the international thing, but let me just say this before I give you an answer on the solution. But you know, one of the things that those pundits were just talking about are drinking the same Kool-Aid that everybody in Congress is drinking. They're drinking that Kool-Aid as a result of a lot of lobbyists and a lot of other congressional leaders that believe it and lobbied for the idea that debt is not an issue. And one of the reasons why they give that that scenario that debt is not a problem and we shouldn't be concerned about it is because we are at about, well, according to the government, we're about 78% debt to GDP. According to my numbers are accurate. The government's are not, and I use government numbers to get my number. So we're at about 102% of debt to GDP. So we're at 102% debt of GDP. So Congress believes not an issue. You know why? Because Japan is about 250% debt to GDP, and they're just chugging along fine. And China is about 450% debt to GDP, and they're just doing fine. That would be communist China, dictatorship, total control. China is about 450%. So Congress says, well, wait a minute. You know, we're, as a matter of fact, they're okay, they're doing okay, but we're even better as an economy and as a country than either one of those, so we don't have a problem. Here's the problem. The problem is that we have a problem because what they leave out of the scenario is that China and Japan are export nations. Their entire economy is based upon exports. The entire economy of the United States of America, or 71% of it, is based on consumer spending. We're not an export nation. We're a long way away from being an export nation. Our economy operates and has different needs than does Japan and China. So, we don't have time to go into all the detail of that. It gets complex. But with that in mind, we've got a serious problem, and it's a problem that has to be addressed.
Dan, that was
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to jump in, Dan. That is a fascinating way to analyze how our congressional leaders think when they compare ourselves to other countries. Let me ask you this. The Trump administration promised major tax cuts, which now look as if they're not going to take place until 2018. And they also promised bringing back hundreds of thousands of jobs from overseas, combined with massive infrastructure rebuilding. Well, the Trump team is stating that these policies, when combined together, will grow us out of our debt problems. Do you agree with that that analysis?
Well, those things in and of themselves are not going to grow us out of our debt problems. But if you add to that, they're going to go a long way. But if you add to that serious contraction in the size of government, then we're going to have a combination of those two things that is going to go a very, very long way to growing us. Now, when I say growing ourselves out of a debt problem, it is not going to happen in 10 years. But could we, at the end of 8 years, could we, at the end of 6 years, start to see a debt clock running backwards, which is what I want to see? Could we start to see that? I believe we could. I believe we could start seeing that. If the things that the Trump administration has laid out from a cost-cutting and saving standpoint and the contraction in the size of the government happens. The problem is Democrats don't want that to happen, and neither do Republicans. Republicans are denying it right now. But you got to remember, these guys need all the power and all the social control they can get. And the only way they get power and social control is through a bigger and more bloated government. So it is going to be a very difficult task to do the other half that has to be done in conjunction with the pro-growth strategies. Listen, let me say this, Dave. People don't realize, because we've become numb to the idea of how much money $1 trillion is. It's an enormous amount of money. It's an unfathomable. We say it like it's nothing. If we bring $1 trillion into this economy, and I think we have the potential of bringing $4 trillion in, we bring $1 trillion in, it is going to have a dramatic positive impact on the economy, and I think it's going to go a long way. I'm a free market economist. I'm a capitalist, and I do believe that we have an opportunity to have a new industrial revolution. As a matter of fact, I think it can make the 1950s pale in comparison. I really believe that.
Because, you know,
but go ahead, Gary. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I really appreciate that scenario, Dan. And, you know, my concern is that particularly the Democrats might do everything that they can to throw a roadblock in this whole situation. And, you know, we really need to pray that they will not do that. But let me just shift gears a little bit, if you don't mind. And that is from the perspective of a Christian. Many of our listeners are Bible-believing Christians. So from the perspective of a Christian who understands that we are in the last days, when we know that globalists are desperate about setting up a world government that will also have a secular economy, a godless economy, my question to you is, how do you advise the responsible Christian citizen to view the economics of the day and to live in light of the uncertain economic times at the very best?
Well, I don't think we are uncertain about a couple of things. You and I, Gary, and Sam, and Dave, we know how the story ends. So
right.
we have an advantage to an awful lot. We know how this story is going to end. But I believe that we as Christians have to get to a place in our economy, in our own personal finances, where we are willing, unwavering, to stand firm on the truth of the gospel first and foremost. But we have to stand firm on the thoughts and the ideas and the notions that I know for a fact that this country was built upon the principles of Christian, Judeo-Christian values. And I also believe and know that God's hand was very actively involved in creating the Constitution of this United States. I know that because no other Constitution has ever withstood 240 unparalleled years of freedoms like this Constitution has, and that could only be by the hand of God. So we have to take heart faith in that this is the authority that we are under, as all authority is under the hand of God. But at the same time, we have got to do everything that we can do in our personal lives to honor God, not just give God all the glory and the grace. I know thousands of Christians that give glory and praises to God for what God has done in their life, but at the very same time are using their money to support abortion or pornography or gambling.
Wow.
We need as a culture, conservative Christian culture, we need to stand so unwavering that we are going to do only, from a financial perspective and an economic perspective, that which honors God. Which honors God. And that's what we need to do, and then trust in God that under his authority that things will be taken care of. I know that sounds very broad, and it sounds maybe even somewhat simplistic, but at the same time, we as believers, I just heard a tease that Sam gave at the top of this hour that talked about atheist growth, and I know you guys are going to talk about that coming up.
Oh, Dan, we're going to run out of time, Dan. People are going to have to stay tuned for us to find out what we're going to say about those atheists. But, Dan, you're talking about biblical authority and Christians living like it, trusting in God to do what he can do and doing what we have to do. Give us our website your website, Dan, very quickly, please.
Financialissues.org, financialissues.org.
Dan, thanks for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, you got a fire hose treatment there of economic review from Dan Seely, CEO of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries. All right, now, when we come back on the other side, we're going to pick up on this research that says that over 25% of Americans don't believe in God. We're going to talk about that.
We're glad you're listening to today's Stand in the Gap Weekend. Did you know that the American Pastors Network produces not only Stand in the Gap Today and Stand in the Gap Weekend, but also a one-minute program carried on over 200 stations nationwide called Stand in the Gap Minute? Here's the program from last week. I hope that you enjoy this important challenge. On Memorial Day, we honor those who've given their lives in battle so that we can live in freedom. But when it comes to memorials, God says there's a lot more to it than just remembering. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another timely Stand in the Gap Minute. In Joshua chapter 4, God instituted the concept of memorials and the deeper reason for them. Upon rolling back the waters of the Jordan River, God instructed the nation of Israel to cross over into the Promised Land, to take 12 stones and place them on the riverbank as a visible memorial or reminder to the next generation. The reason was key. He said, in the future, when your children see this memorial and they ask why it's there, then you must remind them that it's God who opened the waters of the Red Sea. It's God who gave victory over the enemy, and it's God alone who preserves, blesses, and defends. The American Pastors Network, pastors preaching the truth, equipping saints for service. If you're encouraged by Stand in the Gap Minute, let us know by visiting us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Welcome back to the program. We've been discussing the state of financial affairs here on the domestic home front. And if you weren't able to pick up the entire first part, or you want to find out more, that you can visit Dan Celia's website at financialissues.org. Well, we're going to turn the corner now in this next segment and discuss some new research recently released by the Public Religion Research Institute, or PRRI, on the fact that the number of self-described atheists in America could actually be 10 times higher than previously thought. Now, what does this mean for pastors and churches, and how does the history of our nation attest to the fact that biblical truth must be the foundation for any nation to survive? Which means that a turning away from truth and the source of all truth brings with it some very serious repercussions.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you were with us on the first half of this program, you really got, I hope, that you enjoyed what we got with a very quick, cursory overview of the economy and finances. But as you heard Dan very clearly say, God's people really do need to look in the mirror. And there's a difference between saying, God, we praise you for the blessings you've given us, at the same time looking and saying, what in the world we're investing in? And perhaps our investments are actually furthering the very same things that we're praying against. We don't have time to get into that now, but we will on future programs. But again, pick up this program, go back and listen to it in the archive form. StandInTheGapRadio.com is where you can go. And again, as we've been saying, encouraging you to download our new app. Go to your iPhone or your Android and just put in the phrase Stand in the Gap or American Pastors Network. Either one will work. And you can download your free app. There you will get information from us, alerts before the program every day relative to the theme and to the guest that'll be on, as well as a notating when it is actually on the app, and some other things that we will send to you, as well as an opportunity for you to communicate to us about what you think about this program, questions you may want us to deal with. You can partner with us financially, which is very, very important, ladies and gentlemen. We don't talk about it a lot on here on this program, but we're not just a news program. This is a ministry of the American Pastors Network, and we're trying to deliver news to you, news of the day, from a biblical and constitutional perspective. It is unique. It is very unique, and we need your help in order that this can continue and expand. Well, with that, men, we're going to go back to now pick up on this whole issue we're talking about on the other side of the break. A new poll just came out yesterday, commissioned by Public Religion Research Institute, PRRI. They released this yesterday, and I'm going to read just in part from it. It says this, quote, "The number of atheists in the United States is still a matter of considerable debate. Recent surveys have found that only about 1 in 10, or 10% of Americans report that they do not believe in God, and only about 3% identify as atheist. But they're saying a new study, which I just have done, suggests that the true number of atheists could be much larger, perhaps even 10 times larger than previously estimated." And then it concludes in the study by saying that roughly one quarter, 26% of Americans very likely do not believe in God. Now, Dave, let me start with you here to give a response to this information right off. Do you find that these numbers that even show that 10% of the public don't believe in God, that in this report shows up to 40% of young adults say they have serious doubts about the existence of God? If even close, Dave, What are the implications of this to our nation, or perhaps are we already seeing perhaps the implications of this?
Well, Sam, I think the implications are incredibly dangerous, and I think, yes, we are already seeing the results of those implications. Sam, there was a Pew Research report that came out in 2007 that says the group that you're just talking about that describe themselves as atheist, in the Pew report from 2007, they called them unaffiliated. That included atheists, agnostics, and those that describe their religion as, quote unquote, nothing in particular. That was about 16%. So we have jumped, Sam, significantly from 2007 to 2017 in 10 years. So the ramifications of this, Sam, are catastrophic for the religious landscape. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And if you have a lack of knowledge of God himself, or you're questioning the existence of God himself to the degree of numbers that this report reveals, then we're in big, big trouble religiously in America.
And Dave, you know, it's interesting. We don't often cite these sources of reports. This is a secular entity, and often during things that are on more of a leftist-leaning thing, but these are their numbers. But we do cite a lot of George Barna reports, and Barna reports has been indicating the same thing, that the view of our millennials, the youngers, are moving away from a knowledge of God, and the numbers that we've cited, that he's citing, is that 4%. Only 4% of millennials have a biblical worldview. Now, that tends to me to be corresponding to this information in every regard. And we've made the comment here, and George did as well, that, you know, ladies and gentlemen, let's face it, we're dealing with a generation who doesn't even know who God is. So how in the world, it's not hard to believe that they're atheists. And that's why this report is saying, depending how you factor in the data, you actually could be higher than that 27%. That is that is incredibly impactful, Dave.
Well, Sam, it is. And here's the thing. The millennial generation, well, it's true of any generation, but the millennials are, I guess, the ones that we talk about so much. But when you move away from truth, a significant and strong position on truth, ultimately, Sam, you're moving away from God himself, because Jesus is the truth. He is the life, according to John 14:6. So what we've seen for some time is a moving away from objective truth. And in the process, we should not be surprised now that we have these vast numbers of people questioning even the existence of God himself, who is the truth.
Dave, one of the things we know from research, not in this report, but in Barna reports, is that there's been a separation from our own history. We know that the secularists have gone into our schools and removed the mere fact that God did play a part in our, I mean, played a big part. And even Dan Celia on the financial side said our Constitution is based on biblical principles, which we talk about a lot here. Well, Gary, I'm going to go to you now, because you and Dave were down in the Capitol. You were in Washington for the last couple of days. And I just want to ask you, Gary, you've been there a number of times. You were there, you just came from there. What kinds of evidences can you point to that would indicate that, fortunately, our founders weren't among this trend we're seeing now, but in fact, they did have an understanding of who God were, and they were not atheists? Gary, cite some things, if you could, for our listeners.
All you need to do is go to Washington, D.C., and you can see that evidence, because on our buildings, particularly our Capitol building and other various monuments around the city, there are verses of scripture used, there are statements rendered that our founders gave that indicate that they had a true faith in God. And in addition to that, I would like to say that every time I go to Washington, I find out that there truly are a lot more born-again believers in Congress. I mean, people who love the Lord, not just say I'm a Christian, traditionally speaking, but they're born again, they're saved, and they are living for the Lord. That's the encouraging thing. So whether we are looking at our founders or observing how many believers there are in Washington today, you know, that's encouraging. But I want to address this for just a moment, if I may. When we are looking at this concept of atheists, I think it's important also, and I would like to see a survey on the distinction between true atheists and practical atheists. there are atheists, true atheists, that is, they deny the existence of God. There then are practical atheists, maybe you could say that they are agnostics, who question God or live as though there is no God. I would like to see that type of a survey conducted. In addition to that, we know what Christ said concerning the latter days. He said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And then Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, that in the end times, some shall depart from the faith. So it's not a surprise that atheism is growing. However, and I say this and I conclude, what we need today is a stronger emphasis on evangelism. We talk about so many issues today in the world around us, you name it, but I hear very little talking about the significance of the church and the individual Christians throttling down on pure, unadulterated evangelism.
Gary, I think you actually kind of went to a point that Dan was going to at the end of that last segment. Christians, if we are believers, do we really live like it? And that's a real question. When we know that 80-some percent of all Americans, when they're polled, say they're Christians, but then what? Far less than 30%, 4% millennials have a biblical worldview. We know that there's a lot of Christians in name only. And that's what Dan was going, I believe, there with his part about finances. If we're not living like it, well, then are we, in fact, practical atheists?
And even the idea of evangelism, Sam, you know, you talk about a biblical worldview. Our commission is to preach the gospel to every creature. And you talk to the individual Christian, you talk to the individual pastor, when was the last time they led somebody to Christ? We know that as we draw closer to the return of Christ, there will be a turning away from the faith. But is that also because of the fact that the church, which is the pillar and the ground of truth, does not portray the truth of Jesus Christ evangelistically?
That's a great question. Dave, you had a comment there.
Well, you know, I wanted to say this with respect to our time in D.C. One of the greatest testimonies to the gospel and one of the greatest tools for evangelism is the United States Capitol building. Gary, we went on one of the most amazing tours I've ever been on with Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas. He is a walking history book. And he made the statement that the general tours that are taken through the Capitol by, you know, the tour guides are very toned down. But when you understand the truth of that building, the role God played, the role Jesus Christ and the prominence of Christ in that building, it is a wonderful tool to accomplish what Gary's just been saying, and that's evangelization of the lost. Come go with us, friends. We'd love to take you sometime.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, this is great stuff. We're going to, on the other last segment, we're going to go and talk a little bit more about something that Dave was involved in on the Second Amendment. Biblical principle, talks about constitutional principle. We're going to talk about what he did in a panel interview on CNN. We'll get some inside scoop on how that was, how it went, and when we're going to be able to see it.
At the American Pastors Network, we urge pastors and Christian parents to seek a Christian education for their children, not as a preference, but a conviction. Whether in homeschool or Christian school, a Christian education is essential if we ever hope to raise godly children and change the culture for Christ. That's why on this program and our Stand in the Gap Today program, we are glad to partner with BJU Press, the nation's largest provider of K-12 Christian curriculum, academically excellent, biblically sound, and historically accurate. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, Start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. We're about to wrap up things now with our final segment, but before we do, I want to mention that if you're wondering about how you can have an impact on this generation or how you and your church can make a real difference, I want you to know that we're here to help. One of the ways we're influencing the culture, besides our radio programs, which God has really been blessing, is our building of state chapters of pastors' networks in all 50 states. God has put before us the goal for a chapter in each of the 50 states. Right now, we're in 10 states with a few more right now waiting in the wings. We're seeking to unite pastors biblically under the banner of biblical truth and encouraging them to preach the whole counsel of God from the pulpit, especially with a focused regard to the issues of the day. We're helping them to understand the power of their voice and to speak out individually and collectively on matters of public policy issues because they have been ordained by God to speak the truth to power on the evils facing our nation, to draw God's line in the sand, and to be the very ones who stand in the gap for truth on behalf of God's people for righteousness. God has been mightily blessing us as pastors, older and younger, are coming together and joining with us. If you'd like to be a part of this exciting work of God, could I encourage you to join with us in prayer and finances? Please visit our website and click on the State Chapters tab. You can see what states we're in, and you can indicate your interest by clicking on a Start My State Chapter in My State. We'd love to hear from you, and we hope that you'll consider this opportunity to partner with us in our mission to stand for truth. There's no better way to lay up treasure in heaven than by placing some of your finances where God is clearly working, and we know it is in this area. If God has touched your heart, please respond and join with us now. Now, in conclusion, during this last segment, we're going to hear from Dave Kistler about his recent experiences in participating on a panel during a CNN interview on the matter of the Second Amendment and our right to keep and bear arms.
Well, before we get into this segment here of having Dave, you update us on some of your most unique activities there yesterday. You made a statement in the last segment. We're talking about the atheists and our founders, the witness that the founders had that clearly were so far away from atheism. And Gary, you made a comment about how many are actual true believers in Congress right now. And then Dave, you sent a text. You said one of the greatest testimonies of the gospel and one of the greatest tools for evangelism is the United States Capitol building. And I think that's a great comment, Dave. I just wanted to repeat that. I think it's very, very accurate. And I know that even in many, many of the state capitals, not just in Washington, and many of the state capitals, Pennsylvania here, where I'm from, is where Gary and you and I are located, is rich, perhaps one of the richest state capitals. But when I would give tours, when I was in the House, and give tours to people, I always like to take them throughout the building, and then I'd end up, I'd try to go to the Senate, because I said there was so much scripture in the Pennsylvania Senate chambers that I could literally lead a person to heaven through the Pennsylvania Senate.
Amen. Amen.
That's absolutely true. You know, that's absolutely true.
You know, and that's, obviously a little pun on that. It's not the Senate that does it, but the words, and I tell you, everybody who sits in that chamber, and even in Washington, one day, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to stand before God, and they will have no excuse because it's right there before them every day. And for far too often, they turn it off like it says it's artwork. It's not artwork. God's word is never artwork. It's a testimony that if we don't live, if we don't note it, it will speak and witness against us when we stand before the Lord. Our founders knew that, and that's part of the reason they put it on the buildings. Well, Dave, you, because of you speaking out, being involved in Washington and part of the Pastors Network, you had an opportunity to actually step up to the plate and be a part of a panel with CNN, believe it or not, on the matter of the Second Amendment. Can you tell us a little bit about who was on that panel, what was about, and why the whole thing was put together?
You bet. The host agency, Sam, was a new agency called the Dietrich Bonhoeffer Institute. They actually hosted the event, but the venue or the vehicle through which they chose to communicate this debate was CNN. And how the relationship between Bonhoeffer and CNN, how that emerged, I'm not sure. But there were basically four of us that were panelists on the debate proper, and that was a former International Ambassador for Religious Freedom, Dr. Susan Johnson Cook, who Gary knows well. Sam, I'm sure you have met her. I've been in numbers of meetings with her. Wonderful mm-hmm. lady. And then myself, there was a young pastor, and his name I cannot remember. Gary, you'll have to help me. And then Dr. Garland Hunt, who is an African-American pastor, very vocal proponent of the Second Amendment, as am I. And so we were basically the principal ones to sit on the debate stage. Then they had what was called the front row group. It was probably 8, 10, 12 people. Some of whom had experience with gun violence. One young man was their pastor who had been the victim of two shooting incidents and survived them both. And so they were able to make comments, ask questions. And then there was a larger group of attendees that were allowed to ask questions at the very end. But it was very, very fascinating, Sam. The arguments are well known. Obviously, there were people there that wanted to see or would love to see every gun melted down and never see another one. There were people there that obviously, like me, believe strongly in the Second Amendment and in the right of self-defense. And then there were people that were kind of in the middle that believe certain people ought to have guns, for example, the police, authorities, military. But you cannot trust the common citizen, or at least every common citizen, with the ownership of a weapon. And so the debate was very, very interesting, where I tried to go early on because I felt like if I could say this, and I did in my first statement, if I could say that the issue is not the implement, it's not a gun, it's not a fork, it's not a knife, it's not a toothpick, and we had a little bit of fun with that over the course of the debate, it's not the implement, it's the heart, the depraved heart of mankind that must be dealt with if we are going to stop not just gun violence, but violence in general. It is a heart issue, not an implement issue. And so it was fascinating, and it was interesting. Gary, I don't know if you noticed this, but all of the panelists at one point or another admitted this is a heart issue. It really is a heart issue. Abigail Disney, who produced a film called Armor of Light, she was one of the people that was there, kind of a co-host of the debate along with the Bonhoeffer Institute. And she even, in a statement she made, she said, I don't want to admit this. My politics really doesn't want to allow me to admit this, but it really is a hard issue. So that's the bottom line. And all the other arguments advanced, Sam, were the ones you would traditionally hear.
Well, Gary, you were there and you watched it as well. And I understand you made a statement of some type as well. But as you were watching it, sometimes you're able to observe behavior and attitudes either of the host is asking the questions or the people on the panel or the audience. If there was something that kind of stood out to you in observing that group at that point, what would it be?
Well, first of all, Abigail Disney, basically her first statement was, Dave, I don't know if you remember this or not. She says, in essence, I'm really not one of you. I'm a liberal feminist.
she sure did. She advertised who she was unequivocally.
Yeah. So that was very interesting. But and of course, the fellow who was the moderator, Sam, was a Baptist preacher from New England. So, you know, all those who were up there in the main panel knew the Lord Jesus Christ or claimed to know the Lord Jesus. And Dave, I can't remember that young pastor's name either. It might have been Gary Dahl, but I can't remember how young he was. But
I know he had a full head of hair, though, Gary, so it could not have been you.
Well, as Jim O'Brien says, it's now time for a word from our sponsors. But here's the point, and you brought it up, Dave. You read my mind too many times. But right at the very beginning of the debate yesterday, you brought up the fact after you mentioned your proverbial toothpick. I'd like to see somebody killed with a toothpick, but you said it could be done, so I believe it. But, you know, you went right to the heart of the issue. And you know, the statement that I made was the fact that the reason why we've got these problems today is because of the moral and spiritual depravity of the heart. A gun has not killed anybody. It was either misused or the trigger was pulled by a person. And if it's not the gun, it could be the toothpick. And so, you know, we need to get back to this idea that it's the Word of God that changes people's lives. And Dave and Sam, here's my whole point. And this was a part of my statement, that at times we miss the issue. We debate guns. We debate abortion. We debate same-sex marriage. You name it. But often in that debate, we keep out evangelism. We keep out Jesus Christ. Every one person we would lead to Christ would be one person who would misuse a gun, bringing it into this context. And I think that the church, once again, the pulpit, once again, needs to get on fire with biblical truth, including evangelism.
Amen, amen. And, man, we're about ready to wrap up the program. That's what the American Pastors Network is about, ladies and gentlemen, calling attention to the authoritative Word of God. That is the only place we can go for factual information, always true. The matter is, are we going to go there, and are we going to do what it says? If we did, what a difference it would make. Dave, could I ask you to take and lead us to prayer as we wrap up this program, this last program of the week, please?
Should be delighted to, Sam. Thank you. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us, Lord. Thank you for the country in which we are privileged to live, the United States of America, whose Capitol building is replete with example after example of not only your truth, but the gospel. Thank you for opportunities in recent days to be a voice for truth and righteousness. Father, continue to strengthen us, continue to strengthen your men and your people across the United States. May we stand up boldly for the truth in these incredibly opportunity-filled days. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Stand in the Gap Weekend, a ministry production of the American Pastors Network. Now, if you like what you heard today, you can listen to our daily program live online every day from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time by visiting our website at standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. You can listen live right there on our homepage, or you can look for a station in your area on our station's listings page. Now, as I've mentioned earlier, also, you can access the live daily program or find past archived programs on our new app. If you have an Android or iPhone, you can download it easily by searching for it in your app store under the phrase Stand in the Gap or American Pastors Network. Either one will work. This free app you will enjoy. And if you like to listen to your phone when you're on the go, take just a moment right now and quickly download our app. Let us know what you think about it. If you're considering supporting our ministry, and I hope that you are, fair in prayer or financially, you can give conveniently on the app, or you can go to our website and to our donate page, or you can also send it through the mail your check made out to American Pastors Network, 83 West Main Street, Suite 3, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. And if you mention the call letters of this station and include your mailing address, we'll send to you the Patriot's Essential Pocket Guide, which contains the essential documents outlining our freedoms as written down by our founding fathers. And for a gift of $250 or more, we'll send to you a beautiful leather-bound edition of the Founder's Bible with the American Pastors Network and logo stamped in gold on the front. This is a $125 value. If you have this resource, I assure you, you will use it over and over again. In closing, I'd like to wish you a blessed Memorial Day as we remember those who gave their lives for our freedom. Let us not forget them, nor let us allow their sacrifice to be given in vain. Our nation's at a crossroads. God's people hold the key, but we believe the pulpits of America must lead the way. Help us at the American Pastors Network to stand in the gap for truth now. We hope to hear from you this weekend. Until next time, stand in the gap for truth wherever you are.
Thank you for listening to Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network Week in Review. Our goal is to equip the pastor, church leader, and all believers to think critically and biblically in a culture that increasingly rejects truth, and to provide you with a focused analysis of current events viewed through the lens of a biblical and constitutional worldview. APN promotes the return of our nation to God through preaching, praying, and equipping Christians to reclaim the culture as soldiers and ambassadors of Christ. God hears the calls of His people who learn the truth and obey it. To partner with APN, please visit us on the web at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. You can sign up to receive regular updates, to become a prayer partner, or to help as a financial partner. You may also call us at 610-901-3607. Again, that's 610-901-3607. To listen to any of our Stand in the Gap programs, including our live daily program, go to standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to tune in next week at this same time for Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network. Pastors preaching the truth, equipping their people to impact the culture for Christ.